For our scripture reading, we turn first to the book of Deuteronomy and read a few verses from Deuteronomy chapter 31. Just began a series on the book of Joshua, this being the first in the series and somewhat of an introductory sermon to the book of Joshua. One thing we take note of is that when Moses speaks to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, we see how there is stressed this idea of be strong and very courageous. And then when you get to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, after Moses is dead, and God speaks to Joshua, there is that phrase repeated again. Be strong and very courageous. And we take note of that as we read. Deuteronomy 31, we read verses 1 to 8, and then verses 22 and 23. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day, and can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And then in verses 22 and 23, Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And now we turn to Joshua chapter 1. And the text, which I will not reread, consists of the first four verses of Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. So far we read from the Holy Scriptures this afternoon. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, this book of Joshua is divided basically into the first half of the book and the second half, where the first half speaks about the conquest of Canaan, and then the second half speaks of the dividing of the land. And in the first half, where we read of the battle at Jericho and at Ai, and we read of other battles, and that with the groups of the people of the Canaanites grouping together and coming after the Israelites, and the Israelites defeating enemy armies. And then after they had gone into the land and had defeated enemies that had come against them, there were still Canaanites in the land, even though they had battled against the armies. And now the people they cast lots to determine where the different tribes would live, and the different tribes were to go to the land that had been given to them, and they were to continue to drive out the Canaanites from the land and possessed the land. The land was divided at Gilgal, where we read of Caleb receiving what was going to be his inheritance, the descendants of Caleb, and also Judah and the sons of Joseph. And then later we read about at Shiloh, that the tabernacle was set up at Shiloh, and then we read of the other tribes receiving, being told what their portion of the land was. And 2.5 tribes, which we read in Joshua chapter 1, Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh had already been given a portion of land on the east side of the Jordan. This book is inspired scripture. It's referred to both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Events that are spoken of here are referred to elsewhere in scripture. The writer is unknown. That is unknown with certainty. Different people have had different ideas as to who wrote the book of Joshua, whether Joshua wrote part of it. There have been different ideas as to who may have written it. In Joshua 5, verse 1, we do come across a statement that says that speaks of we, until we were passed over, that would indicate that whoever was writing about the event recorded of in Joshua 5 was present at the time that that took place. But to know with certainty, that is not known. At least I've never heard anybody that has been able to prove it with certainty who wrote it. But that's the case with some other books too. But the fact is that if we do not know for sure who wrote it, that doesn't take away from the fact that this is the Word of God. And that is the important point, is that this is the inspired scriptures. And although he used various men in the writing of it, and many times we do know who was the one used of God to write a book of the Bible, that whether we do or not, we know this is the Word of God. And we are to receive instruction here concerning the promise that God makes to us concerning the inheriting of the land, the promised land. And we sang moments ago about that, bringing out that it is the case today that we sing the psalms that speak about who's going to inherit the promised land. Now, some people might say, you know, well, that, what are you talking about inheriting the promised land? I mean, that's a long time ago that Israel went in and inherited the promised land. And you speak about that today? You speak about that there are certain people that are going to inherit all the land? And we say that is what is promised to us. God has promised his people in Christ that they will inherit all the land. And we know that what we read of in this history is a typical fulfillment of that promise. And so as we go through the book, a book like this, when we're studying a book like the book of Joshua, we study it from the point of view of understanding that this is speaking to us about a typical fulfillment of the promise. And there's instruction here about the spiritual battle that we're engaged in, and about what God has promised us in Jesus Christ, and that we are to fight in the consciousness that God has given us the land. And just as Joshua was to lead these people in battle in the consciousness that God had given them the land, he had sworn an oath, swearing by no greater, he swore by himself. And he assures them that he will be with them. And yet it was also the case that they were going to face enemies that were going to come after them, that were going to hate them and want them dead. And they were going to need to fight them. And it is good for us to think on what it would be like to be here at this, to be alive at this time, or to be Joshua hearing this, or to be one of the men that's going to go forth and fight. And of course, they went with their families across into the promised land. The repetition of be strong and very courageous, I will be with you, And you read that. You read it so many different times, and you wonder, why the repetition like that? Obviously, one aspect of it is there would be a tendency to be afraid. Really, to go out and to fight, to be told, you're going to go in and take this land, and you're going to live in this land. Well, there's people there, and they had heard, you know, we'd heard about earlier how there were some places where they were giant men, and there were places where there were walled cities. There are all these people living there, and we're going to go in, and we're going to say, we live here. God has given us this land. Well, they're going to come after us. No, there they are. Don't be afraid of them. Don't fear them. Be strong and courageous. Haven't I commanded you? I will be with you. That constant repetition. I will be with you. We can have trials today where we benefit from having a brother or sister at times when we're nervous, times when we're afraid, of having somebody that keeps telling us, don't be afraid. God is with you. The Lord is with you. And on the one hand, you may say, I know that. There's a benefit in continuing to hear it, as is indicated by the fact that it kept being said to Joshua. Kept telling him that. God will be with you. Remember his promise. Remember the calling that he has given you. He will be with you as he was with Moses. Go over this Jordan. Believe the promise and go. They had heard about it for some time. The day would come when they'd go over the Jordan. And now the time was come that they were going to do it. And that's the theme that we take. Go over this Jordan. Look at this passage with that theme. Consider first of all the leader. Secondly, the promise. And thirdly, the calling. The leader, the one who, as a type of Christ, would lead the people into the promised land, was Joshua, who was of the tribe of Ephraim. One thing to remember about Ephraim is that later on you read about times when there was conflict between Ephraim and Judah. You know, the Messiah was going to come from Judah, while a leader like Joshua had come from Ephraim. And there were some times when there was some conflict back and forth, and eventually Ephraim with other northern tribes split off from Judah. Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim, and he was chosen by God. God did not choose a man from the tribe of Judah to be the leader at this point. He chose Joshua of the tribe of Ephraim. He was chosen by God. The scriptures do indicate that. In Numbers 27, verse 18, indicate that this was God's choice. And then we also read in what we read in Deuteronomy 31, where Moses exhorted him. Joshua had been Moses' minister. That's referred to in verse 1. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, that he had served Moses for some time. Undoubtedly, he had learned from Moses. And Moses is, in fact, the one who called him, what we refer to as his name. We read that in Numbers 13, verse 16, where it lists the name. You know, Joshua was one of the 12 spies, as the children here know, that Joshua was one of the 12 spies that went in to spy out the land, and 10 of the spies came back and brought an evil report, and Caleb and Joshua were contrary to them. They thought they should go forward. He said, don't listen to them. These men that are bringing an evil report, the Lord will be with us. Let's go forward. and Joshua and Caleb would enter the land, and the people would wander in the wilderness for, you know, a total of some 40 years. But in Numbers 13, when it lists the names of these spies, the men that went in to spy out the land, it says in verse 16 of Numbers 13, Numbers 13, verse 16, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. It had just listed them. And Moses called Oshea, so that was his name, Oshea. Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua, or Joshua. So Moses is the one that called him that. And he is referred to as Moses' minister, who is known for leading the battle against the Amalekites when Moses' hands were held up. Joshua was one that was leading in that battle. He was not with Israel when they worshiped the golden calf. And he stood with Caleb over against the majority. That Joshua was the Joshua that would lead the people, be used of God in the leading of the people as they went into the promised land. We also read of Eleazar the priest who would be with Joshua. You know, before it was Moses and Aaron. Moses was leading the people and Aaron as the priest. Now it was going to be Joshua and Eleazar. Joshua, as we read of here, leading the people, and then also with him would be the priest, Eleazar. And when the book ends, after it goes, talks about the dividing of the land, then it ends by referring to the death of Joshua and also the death of Eleazar, the priest. Of course, the one who was leading the people into the land, of course, is God, and Joshua is a type of Christ. And Christ is the one. We talk about the entering into the land, the defeating of our foes. We know Christ is the one who delivers us from all of our foes, who suffered and died in our place, who reconciled us to God, and that he is the one that brings us into the land. All things necessary for our salvation are found in him. And we talked about that, you know, briefly this morning too. We inherit his heavenly kingdom. It's the kingdom of Christ, and we inherit his kingdom. Joshua is a type of Christ. And that is what we are to keep in mind when we read the book of Joshua. Now, the Old Testament saints believed in Christ. This is undoubtedly an important point that we need to continuously be bringing out. This is an area where it's a typical Baptist position who hold to what's called dispensationalism. Many Baptists hold to what's called dispensationalism. And they speak of there being two different peoples of God. And they may say that salvation has always been based on, you know, what Christ has done, both in the Old Testament and in the New. And that we're saved by grace in the Old Testament and the New. And they will say that. But then they will also say that in the Old Testament, they didn't believe in Christ. They weren't personally believing in Christ. There are those that speak that way. They believed in God as their Savior. But the Scriptures do speak of them believing in Christ. Joshua was a type of Christ. Moses was the typical mediator, referring to Moses before Joshua. that God had spoken of the promised Messiah already in the Garden of Eden. He spoke about the coming seed of the woman. And then he speaks about the coming seed of Abraham and what is promised to the seed. And that idea, as you follow it through, that idea that everything's promised to the seed. And that God's going to save them by a promised king, a promised anointed one. Messiah means anointed one. And that God is going to save them by the promised anointed one. And they looked for the promised anointed one. And here God was leading them by Joshua, who pointed forward, you know, to Christ, where they were to. And we read in this very book about God leading the people. When you read in chapter 5, that God appears to Joshua and gives him instruction. When you get to that, where Joshua sees somebody, and he asks, you know, who it is. And he asks if you're for us or against us. In Joshua 5, verse 14. And it says there, Joshua saw a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And then this is verse 14 of Joshua 5. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. So who's the leader? Who's the captain? Who's leading the people into the land? He says, he is. As captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. This is the Son of God. And he speaks to Joshua. And Joshua fell on his face and did worship. And saith unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And then the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. Just like, very similar to what God said to Moses. Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Bringing out who the captain is. Who is the one leading? So when we talk about Joshua as the type of Christ, it's important to see, looking at the event itself, and see that God was leading them then. In this event, the one who was leading them was the Son of God, leading them into the land, giving instruction to Joshua. And God was speaking to Joshua now, going back to Joshua 1, that he might be encouraged and strengthened because the time has come for them to go over the Jordan. Moses had already talked to Joshua. We already read that in Deuteronomy, that God had already, you know, speaking through Moses, had given instruction to Joshua. Now, as the time has come, God speaks to Joshua and gives direction to him, that he may be encouraged, that he may be strengthened, hearing from God himself, and that the people might see too and know that God is going to direct them through Joshua as previously he had directed them through Moses. And as God speaks to Joshua, he speaks about the promise and the calling. And in fact, in the book of Joshua, as you go through the book, the idea of the unconditional promise, as well as our calling to fight, to be obedient to our God, are both stressed. That on the one hand, you think of how the Israelites were supposed to go into the promised land, and then the 10 of them, those called that were spying out the land, bring an evil report, and the people start, you know, crying, and they're not wanting to go. And yet, God brings his people in. Even though he chastens his people, and there's going to be many that are going to die in the wilderness, thinking of all the people that died, God did bring his people in. He did bring him in, just as he said that he would. And so that idea of the unconditional promise of God, if God says this is going to happen, it's going to happen. If God promised this, that his people will have the land, they will have the land. And then we also see the stressing of the importance of obedience to the word of God. But let's look first of all at the promise. What's promised here and what's repeated is that God will give them the land. It says, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them. I give it to them, even to the children of Israel. So God says he gives it to them. It's determined. God had determined to give them the land. Now this was going to take place in history. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And then he starts to describe the boundaries. That's an interesting study of itself, the way that the boundaries are sometimes referred to in a number of ways. Here it's referred to as from the wilderness in the south to this Lebanon. And its thought is that the reason it's referred to as this Lebanon is it could indicate from where they were, they could already see, and you know, in the distance, they could see Lebanon. And saying that that's in the north, that's the boundary. There's the desert in the south, and this Lebanon in the north. That there was the Great Sea, which we refer to as the Mediterranean Sea. And then there was the Euphrates River. So that God gave them these boundaries and told them this portion of land is what was referred to as the promised land. But as far again as this is a typical fulfillment, when the question is, well, what has God promised us? What is this promise about? Where there are those, you know, to this day that think, you know, God still has said to the people that are calling themselves Israel today, that live in Palestine, that God has promised them this land and that this land is, you know, is theirs. Well, what is the land that's promised to us? What are we singing about when we say, you know, that we will live on the earth and have all the land? The evildoers soon shall die, but those that on the Lord rely shall all the land obtain. And if somebody asks you, now you believe that? Do you rely on the Lord? And you say, yes. So you're going to obtain all the land? You say, yes. That's right. We are. That's really true. The next stanza speaks similarly. Yea, thou shalt soon consider well the place where they were wont to dwell, and it shall not be found. But saints shall all the land possess, and final delight and happiness, where fruits of peace abound. People might hear you and say, what? You believe that? You believe that the saints are going to inherit all the land? And then if we were to explain that to someone, we'd say, well, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The meek are going to inherit the earth. And the sinners are going to be gone. They're not going to cease to exist. They're going to be punished everlastingly. And we ourselves will be free from our sinful nature. We won't be battling against that sinful nature anymore. And we will dwell with Christ. And we will reign with Him forever. And we are certain of that. We have no doubt that's true. If you were to explain that to somebody that really had almost no understanding of the Bible, then they might find it so bizarre, so strange that you actually believe that that's going to happen. And you say, well, the Bible says so. Repeatedly it says so. And we know it's true. And we bring out the promises particular and unconditional. We often say unconditional, but it's good to bring out also that it's particular. Those two go together. When people talk about a universal promise that God promises each and every one of you, that tends to go with the idea of conditional. It's a promise to you all, but you got to fulfill the condition. We say no, the promise is particular and unconditional. Just like we said this morning, everything's promised to Christ and to those in Him. That's Galatians 3, verses 16 and 29. That everything's promised to Christ. And those who are in Christ, and that's, in, you know, by that's we're saved by God's irresistible grace. We're engrafted into Him. He infuses into us faith. It's entirely a gift. But those that are in Him, the promise is to them. It's particular. The disobedient are cast out. And so when they also in the history, I mean, we sang about the disobedient that are cast out, but also in the history, you see many of the Israelites that didn't believe. You see many testimonies of, you know, that those that did not, that rejected the word of God. And you also see those who are God's people who have a sinful nature. And you see them doing that which they ought not. But looking at it from the viewpoint of who inherits the land. Well, the promise, as far as the dwelling with God and the new heaven, and when there's a new heaven and a new earth, that, of course, is particular. Only the believers who, by the grace of God, believe. They don't merit the land. And when they sin, when God's people sin, He chastens them, and He brings them in. And we see, like in the when there is sinning at Jericho, we see how God chastened His people, and yet they continue to, you know, they continue to go forward, and continue to have the victory. God leads His people to repentance, and guides them in the work of church discipline, and He brings His people into the land just as He said that He would. Now, the proclamation of this promise works faith. You know, we say today, what's the chief means that God uses to work faith in us? We say, well, preaching of the gospel. Well, the preaching of the gospel is preaching the promise of the gospel. Preaching that God has given us the blessings of salvation. We're righteous in Christ. He will be with us. He will guide us as we go forward. That there is a battle we must engage in throughout this life. He will be with us. Be strong. Be courageous. We hear the proclamation of that promise, and God, the Spirit of God, works by that proclamation and the preaching of the gospel and works faith in us. Well, now with Joshua, when God says to Joshua repeatedly, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, that word is powerful. When God speaks to his people in Christ, when God says to them, be strong, be courageous, he works in them by his Spirit and strengthens them. And that God's people recognize, God is strengthening me by his word. He's speaking to me and strengthening me. You think of how when Jesus did various miracles and people would recognize, he just says things. He speaks and it happens. God speaks and it's powerful. And he works faith in the hearts of his people. He strengthens us, and we see our need of being strengthened by God. And to continue to hear God tell us that he's with us. Well, what about my sins? Your sins are forgiven. You know, like Joshua, if he said, he keeps hearing God will be with him. Well, what about his sins? He's a sinner. Well, God assured his people in the Old Testament and in the New. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to the coming Messiah. And there were the sacrifices in the Old Testament that pointed forward to the coming sacrifice. We hear constantly told to us that Christ hath atoned. You know, he's offered the one propitiatory sacrifice in our place. He's purchased for us the blessings of salvation. He's purchased for us faith. Somebody asks you, why did you get faith when others don't have it? You could say, well, God chose me unconditionally. It isn't he chose me because I believe. It's the other way around. The reason why I believe is because he chose me, and Christ died for me and purchased for me the gift. And then the Spirit of Christ it works faith in me. So it's entirely a gift of God. And I keep needing my faith strengthened. I don't have perfect faith. And when we talk about him infusing faith into us, it doesn't mean that already now in this life we have perfect faith. We don't. And God has ways of teaching us that. When we go through a difficult time and we're afraid. Well, don't you know? Don't you know God's with you? You say, well, I do know he's with me. You may say, well, why are you nervous? Of course, to other people, you might say, well, I'm not nervous. I'm not really afraid. And yet you are. And there's many times that we're maybe anxious about something, maybe afraid about something. A variety of different things. Maybe what this person's going to do or that person's going to do. We may fear what people are going to say. Like Joshua and going against, and there's going to be people coming against him. Well, yeah, they are. What are they going to say? Don't fear them. Of course, there's other things we fear. We can fear diseases. We can fear financial difficulties. There's a lot of different kinds of things we can fear. And yet, God tells us, fear not. Don't be anxious about anything. Come to God. Believe the promise that God is with us, that our sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, that God is with us. He'll guide us. He'll grant us what we need. All that we need, he will provide. And if somebody says, hasn't he in the past? Then we'd say, yes, he has. Well, don't doubt him going forward. He has in the past, and he will going forward too. Just like he has. And we benefit from continuing to hear that. And it was And God speaks to Joshua now as he gets close to the time, as he gets right up to the time now, the time is to go over. And he strengthens him. He commands him to be strong, and he strengthens him and calls him to go forward. And now we look at it from the viewpoint of the calling. You have this promise, and you have God assuring us of his love for us and of his being with us, and also at the same time having the calling. So you have the promise and the command. This is exactly what our creeds say. We preach the promise and the command. Just like here, you bring the unconditional promise, you proclaim that, and you also give the command and say, be careful, be on guard against those that would try to lead you astray, to deviate. Be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. So you see how to apply that then. Be strong and courageous that you may observe exact, do what God tells you. Because there are going to be those that are going to try to get you to deviate. From doing what you should do. And for the Israelites, that wasn't just the Canaanites that were going to come against them. There would be those in their own ranks that would try to lead them the wrong way. Try to lead Joshua the wrong way. Be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Day and night, think on the law, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? And so on. The entering into the promised land is about also another way this is referred to in the scriptures is entering into the rest. And God said that those who believed not would not enter into his rest. So those that enter into the promised land, they enter into God's rest. And those that believe not would not enter into his rest. We bring up that idea of enjoying Sabbath rest. The Sabbath is talking about rest. We talk about that in our confessions. In fact, you recently had that. When you talk about the Sabbath day, what's required in the fourth commandment about the Sabbath day? Well, that last part, you remember what it says in the last part. It speaks of us beginning in this life the eternal Sabbath. Already in this life, we begin the eternal Sabbath. Well, what does it say about that? Beginning the eternal Sabbath. It says this, and it's related to what we're talking about here. It says that all the days of my life, this is what we're to do. All the days of my life, I cease from my evil works. So this is what we're not to do, our evil works. We're to cease from my evil works, and we are to yield ourselves to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. That's the idea. Every day. So that was also the case also with Joshua and the saints at that time. They were to cease from their evil works yield themselves to the Lord to work by His Spirit in them. And thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Well, there were those that rejected what God said. And God said they would not enter into His rest. But there are those who, by the grace of God, believe. And who are sorry for their sins and fight them. And somebody says, cease from your evil works. Does that mean don't sin? Well, we are called not to sin. We know even our best works are defiled. We are constantly to fight against our evil nature. To fight against sin and Satan. And to yield ourselves to God to work by His Spirit in us. That is what our God says to us. And that's the idea of the entering into the rest. Enjoying rest with God. Believing. Yielding. Believing the promise, Joshua was to go over the Jordan. They were utterly to destroy them, that they would not, so that the enemies would not teach them to do after their abominations. Joshua had said earlier, when those people gave the evil report, the 10 of them. Joshua and Caleb had said, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. That's what He had said years ago, previously. Now was the time to do it. And Joshua speaks, and God speaks to Joshua and tells him, go forward, and then He's going to tell the people to get ready. We're going in. And God tells us to go forward, trusting in our God, each generation, learning and getting ready for the time when they're to lead. Moses had led before. Moses is dead. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. You're going to lead the people now. And I will be with you as I was with Moses. And so it happens to each generation. You have those that have been older than you that have led you and have guided you and have instructed you and have warned you. And now, as time goes on, more and more of those people die. And you're in the position of being one of the older ones to lead. And God says to us and assures us, He will be with us as He was with our fathers. And that we're to go forward in the battle. And each generation, there will be its battles. There will be its struggles that we have to go through. And we learn, we continue to learn from our fathers. We continue to study what they wrote. And we learn from them. And also, God continues to cause the church, to lead the church to grow in her understanding. And it may be the case that in a certain controversy, we find that things are, there's a little bit different from what was faced in the past. And God leads us to learn what was taught in the past and to look to God to guide us from His Word and to cling to that truth and to fight following the principles that God teaches us, being not deviating, following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, conscious that He is the one that is leading us, believing His promise, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Believing in Him, we go forward also as we go to the nations, for we recognize that our calling is also to bring the gospel to other lands, even where there's opposition, trusting in God, looking to Him to open the doors. May we fight the fight of faith. May we teach our children. And may we together with our children trust in our God to lead us. Just as He has led the people, His people in the past, He will lead us today. May we believe His promise. May we submit to Him. May we yield ourselves to our God to work by His Spirit in us. May we praise and magnify the name of our Savior. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and our Father, we are thankful, O Lord, for the grace Thou dost give. And as we also have a battle in our own day, and we know we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with sin and Satan, with many enemies we cannot see. And we're so weak in ourselves, we wouldn't stand a moment. Lord, grant us the grace to trust, to grow in faith. Lord, strengthen us. Grant us the courage that we need, the wisdom that we need. And may we fight the good fight. May we glorify Thy name. And may we who are older be examples and leaders to those who are younger. Guide us, O Lord our God. Lead us, we pray. And forgive us and strengthen us for Christ's sake. Amen.